Good morning.
Good morning.
It's always a privilege to be asked to speak. As a matter of fact, I'm always reminded that Charles Spurgeon said that the pulpit is the last holy place on the planet for man to stand, and I guess I understand that. I really believe that our congregation is blessed in so many ways. I've had a chance to work with Pastor Chris for a lot of years. As a matter of fact, our roles used to be reversed. I was the senior, and he was member of the board, and now it's the other way around. And not a lot has changed. We still don't agree on a lot of things, and we tend to poke one another, but we don't do it during the board meetings. Okay, we have those conversations. Isn't that true? Absolutely. I mean, I guess I always remember watching your pastor grow up, and. Can I tell a little bit? Okay, good. My kids used to really despise it when I would talk about them while I'm preaching, and so I learned to be cautious. And I remember him as a teenager, and I have three kids, and each of them are so different. Those of you that have more than one child, you can probably identify with that. So very different. And your pastor was always what I call a straight shooter. He's focused. Once he fixes his heart on a thing, he goes for it. A lot like my bride of all these years. So very much alike. And But he went through a little a challenge, you know, when he was in his mid-teens. But I always remember going to a Wednesday evening meeting, and I remember him before the message, and it was our custom that you could come to the altar, and I remember watching him on his own, got up, went to the altar. And spent a lengthy period of time there, walking back, drying his eyes, and I knew that something had happened. Something had changed. And and from that day forward, I've only seen a man who is determined to fulfill the divine purpose on his life, he has added to our church things that I could not. So, I know that he really doesn't like giving up the pulpit any more than I used to. And so when I don't get to preach as much as I want to, I can certainly identify with that because I understand the man's heart. So I can just tell you that we got a good one, folks. Pray for him. Pray for him. Seriously. All right. I asked him what he would like me to share, and he said, "Well, you know, Dad, you know, I'm going to be, you know, moving from one topic to another. It'd be kind of nice, to, you know, if you could." But he said, "But by all means, okay, you know, let the Holy Spirit guide you, but." You know, try not to focus on the Holy Spirit too much like you have the last two messages that you've shared. And I nodded but thought, nah, no way, man, I'm going for it. It's Holy Spirit, you know, is who has made the difference in my life. And so where are we? You can put the PowerPoint up and well, maybe. I don't know why we always have difficulties with the PowerPoint when It's my turn, you know. Pastor Chris's PowerPoints go up there real nice and easy. Oh, there we go. So this is my topic this morning. We're going to be talking about transitioning from the vine, right? He spent a lot of time talking about the vine, and I understand that his next subject is going to be the fruit. And so we're going to do a little bit of transitioning this morning. Is that okay? All right. Would you advance the? Go ahead. This is my personal life scripture. This is what God spoke to my heart years ago. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Whoever is a believer in Christ is a new creation. The old way of living has disappeared. A new way of living has come into existence. This needs to be the experience of every follower in Christ. And if you have spent any time with me, it's my custom, I ask, would you explain your spiritual journey? Would you explain to me how you came to faith in Christ? And of course, I mean, people are so different. Pastor Chris grew up in a house where Jesus was Lord. That is not so in every person's life. It is sometimes a challenge if you grew up in a house where you went to church every week. Because I am of the opinion that each person needs to have a personal experience with Jesus Christ. And how do you know that that's happened? This verse explains it. Amen. When you truly meet the Master, your life becomes changed. It's different. I can tell you that just as it took divine power to create all of the universe and the things that we see, it took divine power for His touch in my life, because when He did, my want-tos changed. The way that I thought changed. The desires of my heart changed. The way that I approach people changed. That took a divine touch of God. And that's what's necessary in a person's life. And until that happens, nothing really changes. You can make decisions. And I hear that expressed. Well, I made a decision for God these years ago. Well, all right. I then always ask, well, what changed? Because if nothing changed, all that you've done is you've added God to your resume. He then becomes just someone that you know, but truly you have not experienced. I still have God-honoring experiences. You need to honor the presence of God. You need to look forward to moments where you spend time in His presence. I mean, our worship team is wonderful, aren't they? Come on now. Didn't they do a good job this morning? Yay! Yay! Yay, it's good. But you can have that same experience at any moment of any day. I mean, I remember when I used to take Heidi shopping a lot. How many know that women love to shop, okay? Well, fortunately, my wife always gravitated towards those racks that had that yellow band across the top that said clearance, all right? And she would be doing her thing, all right? And I wasn't tired. It's amazing how long women can walk down those aisles. And we got to check out every single garment. Doesn't matter what the size is, all right? We're going to check out every single garment. Well, I'm just walking around, you know, and periodically she, you know, over the years, she would say, "You all right?" I said, "Yeah, it's just me and the Holy Spirit." And I'm serious. I'm in His presence in the middle of Macy's having a good time. A lot of guys, all right, you know, they're looking for a chair, they're looking for some way out, but the presence of God is open and available. And truthfully, He's looking for you. He wants to spend time with you because He wants to bring His presence to you. He wants to bring change to us, right? He loves us, but He doesn't want to leave us the way that we are, okay? So, all right. Go to the next slide here. John chapter 14, beginning in verse 15, Jesus said to his disciples, how many disciples do we have this morning? Got any here? Oh, it's amazing, by the way, when you read Scripture, you have to recognize that unless the Scripture is speaking specifically about the 12, Jesus had hundreds of disciples. So when he's speaking to his disciples, he's not just speaking to the 12, all right? So, moving on. Jesus said to his disciples, if you love me, you will do as I command. Then I will ask the Father to send you the Holy Spirit, who will help you and always be with you. The Spirit will show you what's true. The people of this world cannot accept the Spirit because they don't see or know him. But you know the Spirit who is, now this is important, who is with you and will keep on living in you. I won't leave you as orphans. There are some folks who come to church every single week and they have moments during their week where it's like, where's God? God, are you hearing my prayers? God, what about all of this stuff that's going on in my life? All right, what about the chaos? God, you promised that you'd bring peace, and I sure don't see any peace. And we have an enemy who wants to rob, kill, and destroy, according to Scripture. He wants to rob you of your faith. He wants to kill your joy, all right? And he wants to destroy your relationship with the Almighty God. That's his plan. But Jesus said that he's come to bring us life, and life abundantly. We receive the Holy Spirit when we come to faith. When you have that salvation experience and you become a new creation, one of the reasons that you become a new creation is that now you've got a partner. You're no longer living life alone. As a matter of fact, if you haven't experienced the partner, please hear me. Just praying that magical prayer is not enough. Please do not let anyone deceive you that just praying a magical prayer, and we call it the prayer of salvation, call it whatever that you want, just praying that prayer is not going to get you to heaven. And most importantly, okay, can I just tell you, God's primary purpose in sending the Holy Spirit is not to get you to heaven. He's really not. God's primary purpose of sending the Holy Spirit is to change you into the likeness of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm sorry, you may have to clean up when I'm done. But I want you to hear me, okay? If you prayed that magical prayer some years ago, and now you're just hanging on, waiting for that moment that you can somehow get to heaven, you are so deceived, friend. And you are living life so below what Father God wants for you. You need to be walking in the power and the might of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You need to have that relationship. You need to recognize that there is not one of your prayers that he ignores. Amen. There is not one request that comes from a child of God, his hearing, that he misses. Not one. All right? And he does not forget. And he's patient. Aren't you glad?
Oh, yeah.
Huh? Aren't you glad that God's patient with you? Matter of fact, maybe you should be a little more patient with other folks, huh? Huh? All right, just a thought, all right? I don't want to get too messy, okay? But understand that when we're talking about love here, we're talking about the God kind of love. We're talking about sacrificial love, all right? Scripture tells us that God sent his only Son, all right, to be that sacrifice for our sins, all right? Now, let's go on Now, here we go. All right, now we're gonna bring the former series with the new series. John chapter 15. Then Jesus said, I'm the true vine, and my Father takes care of the vineyard. So whether you know it or not, all right, God's here. God cares. All right. God looks. This is his vineyard. All right. You may think that box that you live in is yours, but it's not. All right, we'll just keep going. All right. Verse 2, he removes every one of my branches that doesn't produce fruit. Uh-huh. He also prunes every branch that does produce fruit to make it produce more fruit. You are already clean because of what I've told you. Now that verse is significant, all right? He's given us his word. His disciples, which is who he's talking to, all right, has heard his word. If you have heard his word, that word makes you clean in his sight. I think that's what it says. All right? But he's looking for fruit. Now, how does that happen? Well, those of us that know anything about gardening or planting, all right? Seed has to be planted, right? But a lot depends upon the soil that seed lands in. Huh? Sometimes it's good to replow the soil of your heart. As a matter of fact, if you don't like what's coming out of your life, maybe you need to go back and you need to do a little plowing, all right? You need to do a little fertilizing, okay? You need to get some more preparation because he continues to sow seed. All right, let's go on now. Verse 4, he says, live in me and I will live in you. Now see, there's another promise, right? As you and I make the decision, well, I'm just going to live for God, all right? I want to live in his kingdom. He says, all right, I'm going to live in you. Now, understand that if someone lives in you or with you, all right, they want to be recognized. They want to be acknowledged. Can you imagine if in my home I decided, well, I'm just going to ignore Heidi. I mean, it's kind of cool having her around, you know, and she's okay. I mean, she's good looking, you know, and she's kind of pleasant, you know, but yeah, I got other stuff that I would really rather take care of. I have other things, you know, that, you know, personally I would rather do. All right? That really says that I'm a little selfish. Because after all, I mean, doesn't the universe revolve around me? I mean, she should acknowledge that and she should be taking care of me. The things that she does, all right, should be focused on me. She shouldn't be doing anything that doesn't bring me pleasure. As a matter, can I just tell you, I got married at 19 years old. I married her not because I was in love with her, because I was in lust with her. I'm just being honest, okay? Huh? I mean, I guess I kind of loved her in some ways, but it took a lot of years for me to begin to know her. And finally, one day, I woke up to the fact that I want to live without her. Right? And then further down the line, I came to the day where I knew, and that was about the time that I gave my life to Christ, I was put here on the planet to serve her. And you know the amazing thing? When I began to treat her like a queen, she treated me like a king. It's a good deal, man. Okay? That's a good deal. All right? And now, I mean, it is amazing. If you were to ask a question in our home, we both would give you the same answer, probably about the same time. As a matter of fact, I guess we'd been married, you know, in our late teens, you know, in chronological order of marriage. And we got to the place where we found ourselves saying the same thing at the same time, and that was kind of spooky, okay? But that's, I mean, isn't that what relationship that you want with Father? To know what the Father would say in a particular situation, a particular moment, okay? All right, let me go on. I'm sorry. Verse 5. Jesus said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. Those who live in me while I live in them will produce a lot of fruit. So if you're living in him, he's living in you, then you should be producing a lot of fruit. Doesn't mean that you should be fruity, okay? But you should be producing a lot of fruit, all right? But you can't produce fruit. You can't produce anything without me. Whoever doesn't live in me is thrown away like a branch and dries up. Branches like this are gathered, thrown into a fire, and burned. Now, okay, I trust that we don't have any dry branches here this morning. All right, but if you try to live life separated from him, you're dry. As a matter of fact, if your life is dry, check yourself out. Okay? Serious. Check yourself out. You should be waking up every morning with the joy of the Lord in your heart. You're going to face challenges. As a matter of fact, Jesus said in this world, you're going to have trouble. I wish he hadn't prophesied that because life would be a lot easier. But recognize that the selfish person lives life for themselves. And the decisions that they make are based upon their comfort. Well, I saw we're going to have another prayer meeting February 29th. All right? Now, that only happens once every 4 years, so come on, you should be able to find time for that. But it was always interesting to me that the prayer meeting was the least attended event in a church. And I know. A lot of folks are going to have reasons why they can't. A lot of folks are going to be able to say, well, I got a full schedule. Can I just tell you, you are in complete control of your schedule. You decide what you're going to do in the 24-hour, 7-day week that's ahead. Oh, come on now, you got to look up at me. Don't be looking at your feet. All right, I'm talking to you this morning. All right? If you find that your schedule is too full and you can't put the things of God's kingdom in your schedule, drop something else. I said drop something else. All right? Maybe you need to drop an hour's sleep. Maybe you need to drop an hour at the food table. All right? A lot of us could certainly do that without suffering a whole lot. Well, maybe we'd suffer, but it's just the flesh. All right? Come on now. Oh, this is... I'm going to pray for you more. Now I can see. All this is coming back to me. I understand now. Move on ahead there, Katie. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22. This is the fruit that we're moving towards. Scripture says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Now, this is the fruit that should be manifesting in your life. Why do I say that? Because if you are truly a child of God, then the Holy Spirit has come to indwell within you. So the seeds of the fruit of the Spirit are already planted. I said they're already planted. And we should see that fruit in your life. Now, come on now, I mean, those of us, that have planted fruit trees, all right, what does the initial fruit look like? Pretty scrawny, all right? As a matter of fact, I mean, I love peaches, nice-sized peaches, they're warm and juicy, in the fall, and, you cut into those, and the liquid just kind of runs out. I mean, it tastes so good. But the initial fruit on that peach tree is about this big, kind of hard, kind of scrawny, And usually the squirrels get to it before you do. All right? It takes a while for the fruit to mature. Do you notice which fruit is at the beginning of the process? Come on now. Some of you really need to focus on patience and kindness. Matter of fact, the person that you live with would really appreciate you focusing on patience and kindness. I've been working on those two for the last 2 years. I think I've made some progress, and any time that the fruit isn't the way that it should be, I hear that small, quiet voice saying, "You're not there yet, but keep going." You notice the last fruit in the process? Come on. How many would say, "I could use some help with self-control"? Sure. But the rudimentary fruit is nevertheless there. And there will be times that you need to go back to your Father and you need to repent. You need to make some changes. If you don't believe me, again, ask that person that you're living with. They will reaffirm that you need some help. The fruit of the Spirit. Works of the flesh, Scripture says, are evident. And those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Oh my. Go ahead, Katie. Move that on there. Now we get to what they call the love chapter, 1 Corinthians 13. Now, these are the first three verses. And I think that it's important to begin here instead of with the other portions. First one, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. In the Corinthian church, it was felt that if you spoke in other tongues, that you were something special. And unfortunately, that can kind of filter into the modern church today. As a matter of fact, if you don't speak in tongues, some folks probably look down on you. God's got a different scale of evaluation. God's more interested in your love. And verse 2, and if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, if I have all faith so I can remove mountains but have not love, I'm nothing. I can tell you that I always feel honored when the Lord allows me to speak what I believe is His word into someone's life. But I recognize that just having that particular gifting, not going to do it. Talks about having all knowledge. The Bible tells us that knowledge puffs up. Maybe you've been a Christ follower for 20, 30 years, even more. And somebody comes up with a problem and you've got four scriptures that you can give them just off the top of your head. Somebody asks a question and you've got the answer and it's straight from the Bible. Makes you feel pretty good. But if you're not extending God's love to that person, God says you're nothing. I'll never forget the day that I had a 5-6-year-old. I was senior in those days, and this little 5-6-year-old came running up to me, and I saw her coming, and I thought, oh no, got to preach, and now I got. Oh. That little 5-6-year-old came up and said, "Pastor John, look what I did in Sunday school." And the verse on that page gripped my heart. That little girl didn't know, but she spoke the word of the Lord to me that morning. Those of us that have served Christ for a lot of years and think that, well, we've kind of arrived. Beware when you think you stand, lest you fall. All right, let's move on. Verse 3. If I give away all I have, if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Man, I mean, remember Jesus was standing outside the treasury, and he's watching everyone as they put their offering inside the treasury. And this little widow comes up and puts her little two pennies in there. And Jesus made the statement, she's given more than all the rest. And I'm sure that some of those folks came in, you know, with their bags of money, put it in. Scripture says that even if we give our bodies, we don't have love. We've wasted our time. Move on, Katie. Then it tells us what love is. Love is patient and kind. It's not jealous or conceited or proud. Not ill-mannered or selfish. You know, we should do a lot of messages on selfishness. Because I don't think that we certainly recognize selfishness in other people real easy. Because after all, I mean, they should do the things that make you happy. They should do the things, you know, for your comfort. Huh? And if there's ever a decision to be made, they really should ask you for your opinion. Isn't that true? Come on. Y'all looking so holy this morning. I am really, really impressed. All right. It's not selfish or irritable. It's not irritable. Oh. Don't you love it when someone close to you asks you to do something that you really don't like? Heidi was on the way to church. She was. We saw a couple of English setters, you know, running across an open field, and she said, "You know," I said, "Yeah, I know. I really, dogs inside of a house just drives me crazy." All right, and she said, "I just don't know how long it's going to be." I said, "When you get to heaven, you can have a dog." Really? I said, I believe it. God will give you the desires of your heart. All right. Now I know that you would never even go in that direction, and nothing probably irritates you, but there are some things. All right, let's just move on here. Love does not keep a record of wrongs. Now, this is huge. Huh? When there's a controversy in your house, does your mind ever flip back to what's happened in the past? Aren't you glad that God doesn't operate that way? As a matter of fact, aren't you glad that God will not give you what you really deserve? Because we have an enemy that will play that in our hearing. Well, you know, you deserve better than this. If they really loved you, they would let you do. They would let you have. Friend, you don't want what you deserve. You should get up every morning and thank God for all that you have. I'm serious. Scripture is adamant about not complaining. Now look, this takes training. Because again, we have an enemy. And in my life, the enemy whispers on my left side, so I always know who it is. Holy Spirit, he sits on the right side because he's always right. It's scripture. It's all right. I'll give it to you. It's part of the cleanup. Moving along. Verse 6, love is not happy with evil, but is happy with the truth. Love never gives up, and its faith, hope, and patience never fail. Love never gives up. You ever been in that hard season of life? You say, God, I just can't take this anymore. God, this is just too much for me. God, you know I prayed and I fasted even, and I give my tithes and offerings, and I mean, God, I have been faithful to you, and I mean, God, I just can't take this anymore. Come on. Can you picture Jesus in that position? The evening before they go to the Garden of Gethsemane, I mean, can you picture? Well, now, Father, I've only done them good. I've only healed them. I provided for them. And they just are so unappreciative, God. I just can't do this. I don't know why I ever left heaven. I don't know. I just can't take it. I don't know. Can you just kind of take me back now? I just don't understand. I've given them my word. I've given them everything that they need. I have been patient with them. I have only been kind with them. And now they're going to crucify me? I just can't take it. But that's the way that we approach Father when the going gets tough and there's no answers. And the things that Father asks us to do, we don't want to do because we don't understand. And because it doesn't make sense to us. I submit to you that when we're in that place, we are not living by faith. We are living by emotions and logic. And my Bible says that we're saved by faith, not by logic and not by emotions. So what am I saying? We need to grow up some. And you know what? Just as our pastor has said repeatedly over the short term, we need to help one another. And when the going gets tough, we need to let folks know that it's a real challenge time in our life. And his favorite expression is we need to lock arms. And you know what we typically see? I'm fine. Gets real quiet sometimes. Let's live on. All right. Oh, I got it. I remember the day that I found these scriptures, and I didn't like them at all. Matthew 7:21. Not everyone who says to me, "Lord, Lord," will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me in that day, "Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles?" Now, come on now. If we saw an individual that was prophesying truth, casting out demons, and doing miracles, we would say they are a shoe-in for heaven. Verse 23, Jesus, by the way, in most Bibles, these words are in red. And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. What's he saying? Gifts are great. As a matter of fact, you and I both were born with gifts. When we became born again, we were born again with spiritual gifts. But those gifts, apart from following the leading of the Holy Spirit that we received at the same time, not going to cut it. Lawlessness is when we step outside of what we know is the will of God for our lives. All right, this is enough, Stan. I didn't get through one page of notes this time. Look, I hope that this helped. I hope that next time that you spend some quiet moments with Father God, that you will ask Him, is there something that was said this morning appropriate for me? I will. And I tried to hear what He wanted said today. I can tell you that I have grown more in the last 2 years than I have in the prior 10 years, probably. You need to be hungry or you won't eat. You need to be thirsty or you won't drink.